When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
G'day everybody, welcome to the Carlton Show. You may remember us. It was a podcast from about 100 years ago when nobody spoke about the Carlton Footy Club and the team that represents the Carlton Football Club. Suddenly everybody's talking about us, and given the fact that we're back in finals contention, we all started doing this because we weren't. Well, we are now. So we thought we'd all come back and have a chat about it and the water that's flowed under the bridge since then. It's lovely to be back. Stephen Pertile, lovely to see you, Geckman.
Andrew and Baz, great to be back. It's like an anniversary of sorts. We were doing this same time last year.
Bagsy, how lovely to see you, Shags.
Yeah, no, wonderful to be back. And g'day, Gex and Andy. Haven't seen you for a while, and it's lovely to talk about the Blues. Successful year that we probably thought after about round 13 wouldn't be the case. But here we are, we're going into a final series. That sounds really good. And I suppose we better start off in the best way possible. And that's,
woo! I knew that was coming. Back due to popular demand. Well, we are relevant again. We started doing this, I don't know what year it was, 2017 or something, I suppose. I can't remember.
Might have even been a little bit earlier than that. Andy. Yeah, I remember you saying that. I think the club had announced a total rebuild, and you asked the both of us, listen, the media won't talk about Carlton because we'll be irrelevant. And then we basically started, I think, a little bit after that. So I'm not exactly sure what year, but yeah, we went through some dark, dark moments, and the dog days are over. Yeah, hopefully, Andy.
But we
sort of went back into that a little bit this year. You got to say, again, you know, lost 8 of 9, round 13. Boy, if I go back to the messages we were sending each other, crikey, yeah. I don't think you'd want to air them. It was just something that you wouldn't want to relive because I don't know what you guys thought, but I was just about done and dusted.
The Melbourne game first time round was about as uninspired as I've ever been at a game of footy, I reckon.
Shocking game.
I couldn't. If we have a nadir, it might have been that, I reckon, because I think by then we'd sort of hoped that we might be crawling out of it, and it had been a disappointing first half of the year. And then that night at the G was awful. Like we were awful.
I reckon even before that, I just signs even pre-season leading up to the first round, our mids just weren't looking as on and sharp and ready to run and go as we started the previous year. And I reckon there was a lack of confidence in everything we were doing, even when we were just winning against ordinary teams earlier in the year. It just didn't look good, and it was almost like there was no confidence in our skills, and they were trying to hide our deficiencies and try and come up with a way of playing that would allow us to compete at a level against whoever we were playing against, because I think Vossie's always had a defence first mentality, but it was almost like we were just playing behind the ball, trying to defend as hard as we could, and then play really slowly up to the other end of the ground. Yeah. And it was football that wasn't going to beat the best teams at the best of times, and we were kind of coming. We were losing velocity into that first half of the year until we hit that wall where the shit hit the fan, basically. And I think confidence just completely disintegrated.
Oh, no doubt about that.
Yeah, hard to disagree with any of that. Yeah, uninspiring football, slow, play within themselves. One thing I noticed that has changed a hell of a lot was as bad as that Melbourne game was, by the way, the Essendon game was the tip of the iceberg for me. One thing that I'm always conscious of is the tackling ability of the side. And sure, it's the quality of the tackle, but it's also the amount of tackles. And not many stuck in that game, I tell you. It was 33, actually. 33 tackles in that game, which was a 20-year low for the Carlton Football Club since stats have been sort of
kept
and whatever. So that, to me, when you walk away from that and you see that low number, you start questioning a lot of things, a hell of a lot of things, things that I think have been rectified now. I think since then we averaged something like 68 or 70 tackles a game since that day, So the pressure has gone up significantly. And then a lot of other things then, you know, your contested ball and all the fancy stuff and your connection between mids and forwards. But something I've noticed is we've also talked about privately is the ability to that frontal pressure.
So I reckon we'll get to it. Let's get to all of this, right? So let's give our observations on the way through this kind of rambling chat that we'll have, and anybody who's been an old time regular listener of the show will know it can go here, there, and everywhere. So we'll try and move through the conversation and hit all these points.
Yeah. Right? So the shit part was the first 13 weeks, I don't think we want to talk too much about that.
Well, whatever observations you had, and how it's changed, I reckon, because things have changed. So we'll do all of that. Let's start with. So we're recording this on Monday, the 28th, and it's about 10 to 6 that we're doing it. So it's 24 hours after the game started last night, and variously, I reckon there's been a reaction to last night's game, the loss to the Giants, and some Carlton supporters and some neutral observers have seen something in all of that. That has been a cause of some concern. Others, and I'll put my hand up here, I haven't been that unfazed or stress-free about a game of football for years. It didn't feel like there was anything on it last night. So I was able to compartmentalise that going into the match, and whatever happened. And, you know, once Charlie got the Coleman stitched up solo, I reckon you could almost start to feel the air just slowly coming out of the balloon a little bit. But so we've had some good news in the last couple of hours. Akers' collarbone's okay, and Wietering's not going to miss. He's copped the fine for the hands in the face. But what did you make of last night's game before we drill into the journey that we've been on?
Not overly concerned with the fact that we lost, because there wasn't anything to be gained significantly by winning that match. But as an overall pattern, probably the last 3 weeks since the Melbourne game, which I thought was a very, very taxing game of football, I have gotten the feeling that we are a little bit leg weary in the second half of games, where that has been a strength previous to that. And there's reasons for that as well. I mean, we've been managing players back from hamstrings. We've been giving other guys rests. We've been, you know, mucking around a little bit with the makeup of our game over the last few weeks. But I still think I think that's my main issue going forward, is just whether we're getting a bit too cute trying to fit everybody in, and also being able to play four quarters of high-tempo footy to the end, which you have to do in a final.
What do you make of it?
Of last night? Well, last night, for me, similar to you, Andy, once Charlie got his few goals and he stitched up the Coleman, was it going to be party time? Were we just going to steamroll GWS and get that high about it that we were just playing so well that they couldn't keep up. Well, no, they actually...
Well, that's not their DNA.
No, it's not. So, look, we did go behind with three goals in the second quarter, and half-time there was nothing in it. Three-quarter time, it looked like she was all over, and it was. You know, I was sort of sitting there thinking, you know, is he going to ask him for a push in this last quarter, the coach? And I'm not even sure what conversations were held at three-quarter time, but we saw that, you know, Akers had come off the ground. I think Sard had come off various times got massaged or whatever.
Yep.
I think Fisher had a bandage around his calf. Marchbank came on, played well. I think they managed McGovern a bit and Charlie, you know. So I guess that last quarter, if it really meant something, yeah, we would have had a push, but we didn't push at all. GWS got their, you know, they knew what was in front of them. And they actually probably knew that if they won by enough, they were going to get a home game.
Mm, that's right.
A home final,
so
sorry.
So it was kind of odd that we sort of stuck at it a little bit. Like, because they had it. They'd done enough to secure the home final. Mm. And then we kind of rallied with a couple of late ones, which sort of came out of nowhere, really.
Yeah. We actually probably had the last 5 minutes now. You know, maybe GWS, again, they knew they weren't going to lose the game. And home final, no home final. Yeah, I think they would have been conscious of it.
Yep.
Gex, the only thing I'll take up on, you say the last few weeks you're worried about us running games out. And you're right about the Melbourne game. It was very taxing. It was a
high tackle count
from both sides. Like, they were at each other.
In the slop. It was a horrible ground that night.
And we got the chocolates in the end. Mm. So we did...
Bit lucky.
I thought so, if I'm honest. I thought we were a little bit lucky. So our last couple of minutes against them and against Gold Coast, I wasn't exactly happy with. Great that we got the result. Wasn't happy with the way we went about getting that result in the last couple of minutes, because both teams were coming at us, right? But we did hold off in both games. So did we run it out? Probably not as well as we'd expect or want, but I don't question our ability to run four quarters out. I don't think that that's a huge problem. I understand Walsh and Chera just came back from hamstrings. Harry hasn't hit his straps hit his straps at all. And, of course, we're going to have Doherty and Cripps, maybe a couple others coming back after a freshen up. How that's going to play? Well, we all know how sides play generally after a bye, generally, whether that's a fallacy or not, I don't know. But, you know, well, we've all got the bye this week. All teams have got the bye.
Yep.
So let's see who comes out Friday night and brings it.
So this is where I'm at, right? I think what they did from quarter time the Gold Coast, which you'd love to know what happened in that quarter time huddle.
The first time around the MCG.
When it all changed. So, and the way we played changed. We came out after quarter time in that game. We could have been 4 or 5 down. They'd wasted some opportunities.
1-2 to 2-6 quarter time. And we were deplorable.
We were horrible.
It was just more of the same.
It was Melbourne, Essendon, first quarter Gold Coast. You think, oh, nothing's changed. And then everything thereafter did change. I mean, we kicked 9 goals from centre clearance.
9 goals, 3 in the second quarter.
Crazy stuff.
Haven't really looked back since.
So crazy stuff. So whatever happened, and hopefully a story will be told about what happened. Hopefully something did happen. But so I'm hopeful, and this is all you can be. We can't be confident about anything, but I'm hopeful that I know who this team is. They revealed an identity about themselves for the first time in a long time.
Yep.
From that point forth until 10 minutes into the third quarter against GWS, there was a repeatable, reliable, dependable way we played our footy. It was exciting at times, but it wasn't anything like what we did in the first half of last year when we go on these ballistic 7 and 8 goal stretches where Harry's doing it and we're kicking goals on the burst. It was none of that. It was all that stuff that you were talking about, Baz, that in-your-face, relentless, up into them. It didn't even need to register a tackle sometimes, implied pressure and tackling all across, particularly in our front half, when we seemed to get our balance of our front half right. That stuff is pure mindset. That is pure. That you don't have to be a first-round draft pick to be able to do that. You just have to know this is what works.
Yep.
And if we all do this at the same time, We have all the other bits and pieces that are able to take advantage of the pressure. Now, you might just get beaten by a better team on the day.
Yep.
You might run into a Melbourne that's hot, or a Brisbane at the Gabba, or a Collingwood that's back at the top of its game. And they might just be too good for you, right? Mm. But you know that what we've got, that works. So what I'm hopeful of is that I'm not even going to watch the GWS game back. I'm going to go for the next, whenever you're listening to this, the next 2 weeks, I'm going to go, I know what the 22, 23 that represent on Friday night of the first week of the finals are going to bring, because they've done it for 2.5 months mm. and it's worked.
I'm massive on this point you've brought up. I've got a whole page dedicated to this one topic that you've just brought up. And to me, this goes way, way back. This goes back to our VFL days, okay? Because Carlton has not had a brand since mm. the VFL days. Mm. That brand was basically bought out of the checkbooks that we could produce in the day. We had zones that we could dedicate good representation from. We could buy the best players in the land, and we were prestige. We were the greatest show on earth back in those days. And since VFL became AFL, we were the last club to change with the times. We were the last club to become the professional entity that you needed to be to go to that next stage of professionalism and the AFL. And we lost our identity. We lost our brand because we couldn't do what we used to do anymore.
Of course.
And it took – we're in no man's land for decades. 95 was the last of those VFL-branded players that could get us over the line. Mm. And since then, we've just been playing catch-up with the whole competition. We thought the boardroom could handle it for us with a Jack Elliott sort of regime, and we just didn't have a way of catching up with the rest of the competition. Then we got fined and we're in the shit for another 10 years. So,
absolutely.
I think what you've said, Andy, is the first time that I've seen a consistent brand of football that we can actually say, hopefully, this is who Carlton is now. Mm. And this is how we're going to play as a club from now on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you look at the successful teams in the competition, this is how you've got to play in finals. Mm. This is big, big boy football. You know, you've got to pull your pants up, roll your sleeves up, and you've just got to get stuck in. And you've got to play physical, hard football. And you've got to be able to stand up to whatever's coming in your face and push it back even harder.
Mm, 100%.
So
absolutely 100%.
I agree totally with what you're saying, and the repeat performances since the Gold Coast game has hopefully shown us what we can do. No guarantees.
No.
But
no.
That's what we've got to throw out at to whatever the opposition happens.
Oh, I agree with both of you. I mean, if you want to go a little bit further, the arrogance of our club, the arrogance and the complacency over those periods of time really left us way behind the eight ball, and the fuck you, we're Carlton, fuck the rest.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is 18 clubs now, soon to become 19, Australia-wide. That might have worked back then. I'm sorry, you know, and I'm sure there's plenty out there that still abide by that, but I don't anymore. I don't. I think that attitude has actually sort of harmed us in some way along the way. Like I said, the arrogance and the complacency really hurt us. And now we've just got something bottled. Well, hopefully you bottle what we've got at the moment. And, I think the old Carlton maybe after round 13 this year might have made a move on the coach, which would have been catastrophic.
Plenty, there were plenty calling for it.
Yeah, absolutely, Andy. And you can you can understand it in one way. In one way,
I'm listening to it.
None of us did.
No,
right?
I'm listening to it.
But I understand how people can get back into that, because they love this club just like we love them, right? And so they want the best for this club. And they think that, oh, here we go. We've got this coach. We lost 8 out of 9. We're 15th on the ladder. Here we go. We've got the wrong bloke again. Mm. It's very easy to think that way.
Yep.
I'm not gonna lambast these people, but it's very easy to go back into that mindset. For the club to stick together, to bind together, to say, no, he is our coach, and whether you like it or not, this is what we're doing. Like, this is what who we picked. We picked him for a reason. Mm. And now, I'm sure Michael Voss has had a fair bit to do with what's happened over the last 9 or 10 weeks.
Hmm.
You'd have to think so, wouldn't you?
He's the head coach.
Correct. Yeah. So if when you're watching the team play as poorly as we were, and you know, a lot of people are saying
it's all him.
Well, how you play is a reflection of who your coach is.
So we're going no good, so sack the coach.
Right.
So if you're going well, surely.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, kudos to the club for sticking fat.
Hmm.
I don't know. I have no idea, like you, Andy, that first quarter against Gold Coast, it was deplorable. And then what happened after that's just been amazing. What was said, don't know. We all know they've had a beer and a pizza down at Torquay, but the following week they lost to Essendon.
That's right. It wasn't immediate.
They Essendon the week after they had that hoo-ha-rah-rah. And I know Michael Voss or someone's come out from the club and said that Vossi's had a stern, harsh conversations with the leadership group.
Well,
and they didn't like what he said.
I heard Wiedering talking about this, and it was directed at the leaders, specifically at the leaders. And Wiedering said, I didn't like what I was told. But you know what? You needed to hear it, Jacob. And all of these blokes needed it. Paddy Cripps, you needed to hear it. They all needed to hear it, because it's okay to walk around and, yeah, 3-time best and fairest and 2-time All-Australian and you're a champion and you're this and you're that. What do you got to show for it? Other than a personal CV, what have you got to show for it?
You know what? I've always, without being inside the four walls of the club, I've always had an inkling that there's been a tug of war between player and coach for generations.
Yeah, I agree with this.
Ratton, Bolton, Malthouse, all of these guys.
Teague, Pagan.
All of these coaches and eras have always been a tug of war between player and coach. And maybe it's just been too hard for the players to accept what they've had to actually be responsible for.
You know why,
too? For success.
You know why, too? Because we have been sack the coach.
Yeah.
That's who we've been. That's been our identity, right?
Get out of jail card. That's too easy, isn't it?
It lets the players off the hook all the time. Mm. So the Sydney game. Now, who knows how important this stuff is, right? But, you know, it's a part of the public record now that Craig Matheson, you know, part of the powerful Matheson family who have been great supporters of the football club for a long time, is displeased with the performance up at the SCG. And there's an animated conversation that is being had. And the president says, hey, listen, Craig, maybe best we don't do this here.
Yeah.
If you've got some things to say, maybe come in on Monday and we'll have a chat about it. And then the conversation is that maybe, you know, you're up for re-election at the end of the year anyway. I don't know whether he could have been re-elected. I don't know, but I know about enough of our politics. But the conversation was clearly had, maybe it's time to move on. And that for me, is I don't know where it's going to sit in the history of the Carlton Football Club. But we've always been a club that bends over for big money. Always. Money talks, losers walk. And we've always been beholden to rich, powerful individuals. It's been their club.
Mm-hmm.
It's been their club, not ours. We stand out on the terraces with our memberships and whatever. Not our club, it's their club. They want to sack a coach gets sacked. And I think there was a powerful lobby that was pushing against Voss at the time. And I'd like to think that this board, the majority of it, with the CEO and the senior executives at the footy club, said no more. Brian Cook's come from a club that knows that it pays to stick if you think you've got a good bloke in the chair. He may not necessarily have been sold on Vossi. I don't know. But we're a year and a half in to Voss.
Mm.
So Brian Cook knows this is not enough time. Brian Cook knows that. So I'm sure he's saying to Luke Sayers, hey, we just need to see this out. Let's see the terms of the contract out. If there's blokes calling on our board, calling for the bloke to be sacked, get rid of them. They are not the answer, because they'd never been the answer with the 5 or 6 coaches before him who'd been sacked. So it doesn't work.
But they're not football people anyway. half of them.
Well, look.
So yeah. I'd like to think that that was a pretty pivotal moment.
Yeah, I believe so.
I don't know.
I believe so. That's how I think. Now, at the time, I think all three of us were questioning everything about the footy club.
We were going no good.
Of course you question. And when that happens, you question everything. You question coaches, line coaches, football managers, presidents, boards, CEOs, players, fitness coaches. You question everything because you're going no good. That's what happens, right? Now, we could question everything, but I'm sure we weren't getting any answers because we're just speaking about amongst ourselves. And as much as we were questioning things, I'm sure internally they also review, question stuff, challenge. They do all that. They're not waiting for the general public and members to have the questions and the answers. They're doing it all internally. Now, thankfully, the last 10 weeks has been just, seriously, pinch me, mate.
Mm.
Pinch me. This is, mate, it's not necessarily what we grew up with.
We're doing it different now.
It's doing it different.
All the stuff that Gecko said before about the transition from VFL to AFL.
There's a difference.
But the style of play has gone into this team press thing, like where the half backs and the centres all push up.
Yep. Yep.
So if you see the ball in, if it's in contention, if the ball is there to be won, then you
got to go.
You go and try and win that ball before the opposition does. Yep. Or at the very least, get your face in front of them so that they're under pressure and they're going to make a mistake. So instead of being this contested football team who can win clearance and get goals and pretty much score 80% one way. Yeah.
Completely old-fashioned way of playing footy.
Yeah. We are now being able to turn the ball over in dangerous parts of the ground. Mm. And suddenly get it back over the opposition's head and make ourselves dangerous. So we're getting, if we're playing that press well, we are becoming dangerous on two fronts rather than just in
one front. And we have to change that profile of ourselves as a footy team, because if you're just trying to be a good stoppage team, you're going to go nowhere. You can't do it.
No. I mean, on the weekend, I think we kicked 5 some stoppages out of our first 7.
Hmm.
And we saw the result. We saw the results, actually.
Yeah,
good point you make. I look at that game against Melbourne. Yep, we were doing that. I think the Gold Coast game, we went away from that a little bit.
Oh, didn't turn up in the first quarter.
Didn't turn up at all.
It was horrible.
And they paid a price.
That was a reaction to the previous week
They paid a price. So they need to get back to – they haven't lost it, but they haven't lost it at all. It's just come Friday night, we've got to bring the pressure gauge.
You know whether your team's a player. You don't need the pressure gauge.
Whatever it is.
To
but
tell
like,
you know.
That 200 plus, that's been in multiple games, multiple games since round 13.
Mm.
I mean, in terms of keeping sides goalless for quarters, we've been pretty used to that, haven't we? Us.
On the wrong side of it.
Kept goal. Gold Coast goalless second quarter, Hawks for a half goalless.
Yep.
Frio goalless in the first and third. West Coast, okay, it's only West Coast, but goalless still in the first quarter. Saints second half, the Saints kicked 1-3 or 1-4, and we came from 5 goals behind.
That's as impressive a win as our footy club's had in this run.
Therefore, that's a different way of winning, isn't it? Mm. Apart from getting in front of all those other sides and continuing. The Gold Coast away, 40 points down, come over the top. But got twice, we went 13 points down the last quarter and still got the job done. Then the three big wins, boys, the three big ones. The Pies, Port Adelaide. I know they rested some players, but whatever. And the Melbourne. They were the three big wins. Mm. And let me tell you, if you go back and look at the 23 we played, they were not. No. We were not full strength.
So here is the big challenge, right? This is this is the challenge that we've got now. Because we're not picking the team. But those responsible for picking the team have now got a massive challenge because we're – We're close to full strength here. You've almost got the full complement of players to choose from.
Yeah, probably only Jack Silvani. Probably
Silvani's unlucky because I reckon he'd probably be in the side right now.
I think so.
The way the thing's playing, it's shaking out.
Yeah.
I reckon Silvani, we actually could use Jack Silvani. He might solve a few problems. But what I pray to God happens, and say whatever you want to say off the back of this, one of the reasons that we're having success, I think, is that we're not just picking our best 22 players. We're picking players who are role-specific.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. If you'd have said 3 years ago that blokes like Matt Cottrell, Dave Cunningham, well, I think a lot of people had given up on Jack Martin,
Lockie Fogarty.
Yeah. Adam Chincotta.
Maybe even Owies, perhaps.
Matt Owies. So all these blokes now, there's going to be better players, more gifted, more fated, higher draft picks. There's going to be all of that available for selection for the elimination final that should be overlooked because they don't play this way. Cunningham and Martin have made a huge difference because they are role-specific.
Last year, we brought them up as a major reason why we were in our position. Cunningham and Martin.
Martin, we didn't have access to them. So don't go picking a midfielder and sticking him on a half-forward flank or sticking him on a wing when that's not what he... Well, listen, everyone's been talking about Paddy Dow, but Paddy Dow has got two great assets, breakaway from stoppage and clearance. He's not a wingman, and he's not a half-forward flanker. So if you're going to stick him out there, no wonder the poor bugger can't get a kick. This is what he can do. Yep. So if he's going to play, you're playing there.
He's become really important, I reckon.
He has.
He's a weapon. Yeah. He's a weapon.
Yeah, yeah. So
do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I do know exactly what you mean. I mean, there might have been a case where we were looking at, say, Cripps, Chera, Walsh, Kennedy, Hewitt.
Yeah, of course.
And saying, oh, they're our best midfielders. They've got to play.
All of them
even if
play.
Kennedy played a couple of games down back.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
We'll play, and I think a couple of them were playing them high half forwards. Again, didn't seem to work at all. And then they worked out, well, we've got to pick our midfield. And, of course, you have a couple on the bench. But other than that, we're not going to stick midfielders in the forward line and we're not going to stick them down back. And the only thing I have realised since the Gold Coast game was that we have used Doc extensively off a wing.
Yep. So he's a bit interchangeable. He's smart enough to – he's equally adept in three roles, off half-back, wing, or if you have to go through the middle.
I have so much admiration for that fella. He is so adaptable. Mm. He'll do anything for this club, this side. And I just honestly, you know, when I saw him off the wing that day, I thought, oh, geez, I don't know about this. But boy, you know, he gives coverage to his defense, and he just draws people to him, and makes something out of nothing. Mm. So I mean, you'll see later on. I've put a side together for against the Swans, and I just need your opinions on one or two because there's going to be some contentious positions.
No, there will so really be some players.
Does anyone know what Doc was rested for? Is there an injury?
Well, he had a calf the week before.
He got a knock on the calf. Yeah. It wasn't a tear. Remember he got a bit of a kind of cork, like a gentle corky, yeah. I reckon it
Look,
was.
I've got to be honest.
I think.
It must have been more than just that to be missing.
Oh, no, Gex, I've got a feeling. When you look at what was on this game and you look at two stalwarts of this football club who have given everything who have not played finals, well, Doc might have, but Cripps certainly hasn't. Mm. They were never going to risk
just
these blokes.
They're
not going to risk them.
So Cripps now is in – this is the greatest luxury we've ever had with Patrick Cripps. To not play him this week, he basically gets 2.5 weeks to get himself absolutely cherry ripe for the most important game of his life. It's the biggest game of his life.
Oh, no doubt.
The biggest game of his life by far. So can you imagine, like, we all love the bloke. We all know he's got his – we know what his strengths are and we know what his weaknesses are, but his strengths far outweigh his weaknesses. We all agree on that. Can you imagine what he is going to be like? Can you imagine those poor Sydney midfielders when they get to their opening bounce and they see Patrick Cripps fresh off 2.5 weeks ready to go at the opening bounce?
Oh.
They're going to look at him going – how the fuck am I going to stop this bloke? They've got So he's going to be, Paddy, do what you've been doing. It doesn't all have to be you. No more Superman cape on. Yeah. No more this ripping the shirt off. You just do your job. But you now, he's going to be in a physical and mental position fresh on both fronts to be as good a version of himself as we've potentially ever seen, I reckon. Mm. And that excites the shit out of me, I've got to say. I can't wait to see him.
I'm backing him. I'm backing him to have a 100%. Big game against Sydney.
You worry about some players in the moment and getting overawed.
Yes, going at
I don't think he's one of them. I think you can pretty much...
As long as Eddie, he doesn't...
Try and do too much.
That's
the thing. Right?
That's the thing. That's so, the thing. Paddy, right, what are you?
Yep.
Contested beast.
Yep.
Clearance king.
Yep.
So play that big man that he is.
It's a catch 22. Cripps is... You know, Cripps is at his best when he's getting the ball outside as well.
Mm.
But that's also when he can get in trouble. So he's just got to keep things simple when he's in that situation. He's got to see something and hit it and not hang on to the ball too long.
Just keep feeding.
That's what
just
he's got.
Keep feeding.
He's never had...
Just feed.
He's never had an array of midfielders around him who are as well built to take advantage of what he does as he does now. I mean, Chera was... in billionaire form before he gets hurt. Walsh is, elite. Hewitt's sort of
workmanlike.
Well, and he's got back from that concussion. I think he was a little wobbly for a week or two.
He's been enormous.
Been really good. Yeah.
Dow can take his turn. We've got proper wingers. Yeah. We've got four if you put. We got Akers, Hollands. Cottrell and Doherty, if you want to push him in there. We've got wingers who are actually proper wingers. They hold their width.
Yep.
They don't get sucked in. They don't need to get sucked in anymore. Everybody, because we used to play midfielders out there.
Yeah.
These blokes know how to play.
And they defend.
Yeah. So
Blake Akers is a big one.
He's been enormous. His last 6 or 7
So you reckon
weeks.
He's good?
Yeah, that's fine. No crack. The word was...
He's a huge player for us.
Yeah.
He's one that's not scared. He's played big games, big moments. He had a really good final series with Freo. I've got confidence that he's going to be a major player for us.
Yeah, the only thing is I've noticed, he averages 1 to 2 out of bounds on the full every week.
Yeah, his kicking's not.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
No, we have a bit of a laugh. Me and Fee have a bit of a laugh about that.
He does have his moments.
He gets it out the way early. Fee goes, Dad, he's got it out the way early.
I always give extra emphasis to players who are constantly in the play, impacting the play, especially in the early and last stages of games. And he's one of those guys.
You've been
he's
big
not
on
scared.
That. You've been big on that over the years. Like you really liked one of Gecko's templates is he likes seeing who performs in that last quarter when you most need players. Mm. Who finishes off a game? So. I would look at him and say, like, he's definitely a player that just seems to... And I think he doesn't... You know, he doesn't warm up.
Really?
He doesn't do the warm-up.
How did you find this out?
Oh, through...
Just watch.
No, he doesn't do the warm-up.
You don't come out on the ground?
No. Huh. No, no.
Oh, you mean pre-game?
No. That's part of his condition.
Yeah, right.
He's
superstitious.
I just reckons that it was hindering him running games out.
Yeah, okay.
So he doesn't do that at all. He's just in the rooms... listening to music, gets massages and all the rest of it, and he just comes out with the team.
So what are we going to do with our big men?
It's a big point. So it's a really big point.
What are we
going to
do?
Okay.
All right.
So for mine, Mark Pinnanet must play.
I'm with you.
I agree.
I think our best games
And I'm not
have
his
been
biggest fan, no.
with
but I think he has to play. I think he has to play. And whether that's 50%, 60% of game time, and it purely ruck and then come off the ground, and then TDK impose yourself in the second half.
Remember,
hopefully,
remember the way TDK finished that Melbourne game? Was it the Melbourne game?
I'll tell you, the Melbourne game, and there might have been another game. I think he had two.
He was winning
big
clearance.
Three...
It was just.
Was
that game?
He was big in the third quarter. He turned the game around in the third quarter a bit for us.
No,
it was that in the week before.
I'm telling you.
What have we got against St Kilda or something like that? But I think it's Mark Pinnanet used in the right manner. TDK, obviously, as the backup. Harry, Charlie, fucking work it out. Work it out, boys. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm questioning whether Harry is in the side if you play those two ruckmen. That's my only issue.
No, I think it's a question that is worth being asked. Hey, mate, pulling the pin on him when the team is sent to the AFL or when you have to put your final 23 in on game day, leaving him out is going to be an extremely brave, like it'll be an extremely brave call.
I couldn't do it.
I don't think I'd think if he's available, I'm picking him.
You get one chance.
I know. But
one chance and you're out. So I know. You've got to make sure you pull
We've got to stretch them, Gex. We've got to stretch them. Their defence is not...
He hasn't marked a ball inside 30 metres in 2 weeks.
Yep, that's a fair
And
call.
He hasn't kicked... He's kicked bugger all goals.
But would you say that against Melbourne and St Kilda, Charlie managed 3 goals in those 2 weeks?
They did that double teamed him against
Harry,
St Kilda.
Harry comes back into the side. He's kicked 8 in the last 2 weeks, Charlie.
It definitely
so
makes
it's
a
not
difference.
Just, it's not just the Harry... impact in the scoreboard. He's actually helping Charlie get off the leash.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt, but he needs to. So there's no doubt about what you're saying. But it, in Gecko's to support his point as well, Harry needs to find a way to be.
There's also
impactful.
The pressure factor in the forward half. Because once the ball's down there, you don't want it coming out again against Sydney. They're a transition side. And they'll get you over the other out the back every time.
That's fair enough, and that's where Fogarty, Motlop, Owies, Martin have to come. Cunningham. That's where they have to step up. Gex, you know, like
who's the next one in? If Harry's out, who's the next one in? Is it Durden? Because
hang on. So you're saying if you didn't play Harry,
you go small. If Harry doesn't play, you go small.
Oh, look. Well. Well, if you want, have you done a side, Andy?
Oh, I had a crack at it, but
have you done a side? Gets?
It's all they're all smalls, right? So if you decide to leave Mackay out, then you're probably using someone like Martin as your hit up target, and then you're bringing in, and then you might have De Koning go down to centre half forward when Pitnett's doing his time in the ruck. So he spends a bit more time forward just to give you the second tall. You don't plan in there, but you do a bit of all of that. I still look at our team on paper, and Harry's 2 weeks back have been unconvincing, but I'm going to back him in. He's done enough in the past to deserve it. I think he's a better MCG player than he is at Marvel or at the Gold Coast. I think he enjoys just the bit of extra space you seem to have to move into at the MCG. So I'm gonna back him in that role, and you have to put it on him. This is a moment when you have to stare it in the eye a bit, and you have to go, well, these are the times when I announce myself and my full worth to myself, to my teammates, and to the game, and I either stand up or I fall over. And I think we put it on him and we say, mate, you're in, but we don't win this game unless you do more. We need you to do more. And that doesn't mean going to the centre ruck, because I have not seen a player as lost as he seemed to be
No, I'm not an advocate of that. I think, look, he was definitely part of the team in the first three or four wins we had.
Yeah, of course.
And he was a part of the team. Charlie was there. Not quite sure if Pitnett was there though. See, I think it was TDK and Silvani. Yeah, so that's also not a conundrum. But you can talk about conundrums, Gex, but I think that's the other point, that if Soss was available, I'd almost go. See, this contradicts what I've said about Pitnett, but I'd always go TDK Soss in the ruck and not have Pitnett. And that maybe solves a little problem.
But he's not, right?
So he's not.
No.
Well, do you want to quickly just go through?
Go on.
Okay, so I've got Newman, Wieters, Kemp.
Tick.
I've gone Boyd, Gov, Saad.
So you're Fisher out.
I have got Fisher out of my side.
And Chincotta.
And Chincotta out of my side.
Righto.
What do you got, Gex?
Oh, go on.
Similar. I had Kemp, Weeders, Saad, Newman, Gov, Doc.
Okay. Well, that's not dissimilar because I've got Doc in the side. But Andy?
Well, I'd Kemp, Weedering, Newman, Saad, McGovern, Chincotta, but I'd pick my team before Akers. I thought Akers was going to be out. So
my centre line was basically Cottrell, Cripps, Akers.
Yes, same, but I had Walsh in the middle.
Yeah.
Then I've got my forward six were Martin, Harry, Fogarty, Owies, Charlie, Motlop.
So I had Cunningham in for Fogarty, but I had Fogarty on the bench. So it's all
I've got Cunners
all,
in, yeah.
Yeah, so it's all rolling.
And then I've got Ruck, TDK, Walsh, Chera.
Mm-hmm.
Interchange, Pitternet, Hewitt, Cunners, Dock. And the sub was going to be, it was either Dow, Hollands. They're my preferred. And then either Marchbank or Kennedy, but I think Dow or Hollands as
Dow's
as,
my sub.
Okay,
he,
as preferred.
He cannot be dropped as far
as I'm concerned. Okay. And he's done enough.
So basically, then my side has actually dropped from the side that played on the weekend, has actually dropped Hollands, Marchbank, Fisher, Durden, and Chincotta. I've dropped five players there.
Yeah.
And I don't, you
Five's
know.
A lot.
Well, I. It is, and I brought in Boyd, Cripps, Motlop, Pitternet,
and Doherty.
And Doherty.
I could see all of that happening. So what was it about? So Fisher has been a fascination. When we were doing this show all those years ago, you know, I was excited about what Zach Fisher was going to be, and then he flatlined and almost disappeared. And then they put him behind the ball in the VFL for, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks. And they said, righto, this is your way back in. Seemed like everybody at the footy club was rallying around him. They really wanted him to get back into the 22. He gets the opportunity when Boyd is out for the 3. And I think Boyd had just about cemented a spot in the team. I think he was going that well.
Oh, he was out from suspension only?
Yeah, that's right. So Fisher gets his chance and then plays 4 or 5 really positive games.
He does.
He was okay.
A bit off on the weekend.
Just okay. I thought his first half on the weekend was terrifying.
Yeah, it was a bit off.
Oh, but worse than a bit off. I thought it was terrifying.
Yeah, just a few moments that you think you can't do
You can't
that
panic
fine.
The way he did on that right footer where he just...
No.
And
the 50-metre.
The 50-metre pull. You can make... Anyone can sort of make that brain fade, but he shouldn't have made the brain fade. But he might be a victim of...
He might stay in, Andy. You know, I just think Boyd.
No, he might.
Boyd's a lockdown.
Yep.
Can use the ball.
Yep.
He doesn't find the ball as much as Fisher would. So,
but you've got Newman.
But then you've got Doc.
You've got Newman, Doherty, and Saad, they get up the ground and get off and set up.
So we keep thinking from the Carlton perspective here, but you also got to look at the opposition.
Mm.
You know, they're an organic football team. They can. There's a lot of running and diagonals and, you know, they move the ball around and they're sort of a run forward of the ball sort of team. So you kind of have to – you have to have the capacity to run with them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And
they've only got one ruckman.
Not let them get behind you and all – you've got to have running capacity in this side, which is why my question mark is on Mackay for this particular game. I think you need to emphasise running capacity and the ability to be smart about reading the play and knowing when to move forward or back. You know?
Who are their backs, though?
Well, so they've got Rampy's back into the side. So he's back in.
Lloyd, Cunningham.
No, but who would play on Harry? If you played Harry, who would you play?
No, this is the
thing.
Who would they play on him?
I don't think
they want Mackay in the team.
But
I don't think Sydney
at
want,
the G, I don't think so. No,
I don't think Sydney want Mackay in the team.
I agree.
That would take away one headache for them. So this is, we keep coming back to the problem. I agree with you. They do run the footy and they are a sweeping number team. And they've got some really good players in that regard. So we need to make sure that when they're having their moment, when they've got the momentum and it's their turn, we can go with them. And if we are top heavy, if we've got one too many big blokes, they're smart enough to find out where the crack is.
Yep.
They know how to get the, they know how to punch their way through the hole, and they've got some players who are in magnificent form, and they will find the hole. So we need to make sure that we don't make that easy for them. So that's where I do not envy the people picking the team this week. I think it's, or next week, I think it's going to be a really difficult team to pick for a lot of good reasons. But
it's the balance between what we think are our best players versus the best team for the game.
100% right.
Yeah, totally agree there.
And the way we may want to set up with two ruckmen. We may like the idea of playing Pitnet and Tommy. And that might be in our mind's eye, that's when we're at our best, and Mackay and Curnow.
So can I just say on that matter of, there's been lots of discussion about the ruck situation. I personally don't want to see, well, I definitely don't want to see Mark Pinner anywhere near our forward line ever, right? So that's a given for me. So I want him purely rucking. But I'm almost a little bit similar with Tom. I kind of don't really want to see him up there much either as well.
I think he's dangerous.
He is, Geeks, but how many goals has he kicked this year?
I don't like him.
He kicked a good one last week.
Yeah. I like him drifting into our forward line as opposed
to... And he kicked one against, I think, I can't remember, Melbourne or something.
I like him drifting in rather than starting as a key forward.
But then the problem, you've got Charlie, Harry, and possibly Tom DeConin all up forward. And then it comes back to your point, Gex. The ball hits the ground and they run it out. So what am I saying? I'm saying that perhaps Tom and Pennant have to share ruck duties, but off the bench more so than anything else.
You can do that.
Can you do that?
You can do that.
Yeah.
You've got to make sure that too, like if we're all in agreement that DeConing is our number one ruck, that's my view. I think he's our future, and he's got more upside than Pitnet. Although Pitnet's played some incredible minutes in that run that we've been on against different type of ruckman. Pitnet, the way he's squared contest with ruckman like Gorn and Witts, and the big body, the really big, strong, powerful ruckman, has been really, really important.
I thought he nullified both.
No, he
did. I don't think either got on top in those two games.
At times, they looked like they were dominant. Yeah. Witts early was just destroying us, absolutely destroying us.
Yeah, he did early.
Now, Tom Hickey is not that sort of ruckman.
No.
So they might just say...
He's been carrying injuries too.
Yeah, so this is where... No, I shouldn't even mention Silvani's name because he's not available to us.
He's not a part of the equation.
But if he was, I reckon you just play one of the ruckmen.
Yep.
You play Silvani and you just go with...
Oh, I agree.
Problem solved.
That for me, that's on the table, but it's not available to us.
And you can't play Harry. I think we cannot put him in the centre square because he just doesn't really know what that craft is all about.
And so I hate to bring in other sides in the debate, but I'm going to bring up the Brisbane Lions, who finished second on the table. Mm. So we say we can't play Pitternet, Harry and Tom DeConin. No, sorry, I'm not saying we say that. It's a debate. They play McStay.
No, McStay's a Collingwood.
Sorry, not McStay. What's his name?
Yeah, Hipwood and Danaher.
No, but they're ruckman.
McInerney.
McInerney, right. Yeah. So they play McInerney, Hipwood, Danaher.
Yeah.
So why can they play those?
Because Danaher can go into the ruck.
Into the ruck.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah. And Danaher's got a bit more around the ground craft than Harry has at the moment. So that's...
But Harry's a good lead-up on the wings and that sort of stuff. If he's playing forward, he can lead up on the wings or he stays...
But that's the answer to your question.
Right, with those three in particular. Mm.
Is this game going to be one of those kick-down-the-line games or is it going to be in constant motion? This is the question.
One thing I know about Sydney when it comes to finals,
slow game.
They will be putting absolute unbelievable pressure on the ball carrier.
Game. It'll be a constant motion.
They're a pressure side. Mm. They are a pressure side and they love hitting the contests. So they will hit as many as they can. They'll bring the pressure. Whatever we've done in this season, it's done, it's dusted. New season starts next Thursday night, Friday night for us. It's a new season starts. Mm. And our boys better be ready for what's going to come their way. Because Sydney, under Longmire, the fact that they've played in many finals and grand finals, our boys will have a fair baptism of fire.
Zero. They've all played, I think, pretty much.
Oh, McGovern, maybe.
So if you were...
Zero finals. Yeah,
it's not a lot.
If I was John Longmire, I'd be saying to his players, they're going to be nervous, boys. They're going to be nervous. They're going to be jittery.
No doubt.
And it's going to be on early. So when you go there, look at them. Look in the whites of their... You'll see the whites of their eyes. And that is our chance to seize a match-winning advantage here. So go hard. Shop early. And let's see whether we can, you know, break them in the first 20, 30, 40 minutes.
The first half is huge. If we can stay with them, I reckon I'd be very confident at halftime. If we're close to them at halftime, I'd be very confident personally.
Hang in there.
Don't let them get out in front. Look at their experience compared to ours. We've got Parker, 282 games. Rampy, 229. Lloyd, 222. Cunningham, Heaney's played 176. Papley, 163. It drops off a little bit after that, similar to ours, but they've got probably four or five players who
seasoned
are a bit more seasoned than ours.
Oh, no doubt.
No
doubt. And they've all played finals. Absolutely. Their entire life. They've been playing finals footy. Everything's led them to the finals. The one thing the point I was going to make about all of that and them coming at us hard early, one of the things that I've been blown away by is our ability to absorb pressure. Like, that's the thing that we've become much better at. I think we don't panic. They seem to have a lovely synergy down back. I think they love Caleb Marchbank down there, but Kemp, McGovern, Wietering, Doherty when he's down there have worked together a lovely, look, we know where we're supposed to be. We know when to go. We know when to punch. I think they've absorbed and absorbed and absorbed without getting scored upon on several occasions this year when momentum's been against us.
Fourth rated defence in the comp.
Is that a fact?
Number four.
Oh, well, that speaks volumes to
that,
I suspect.
Part of that, again, is in that first half of the year, albeit we were losing games of football, but we weren't conceding a lot in those losses. I think apart from the weekend, I think we'd only conceded 100 points twice before that. But like we were losing, you know, 75 to 58.
Yeah, horrible stuff.
82 to 57. But so they were horrible games to watch, but we weren't conceding high scores.
Sorry,
And we weren't getting beaten by a hell of a lot. It was the only thing that I was hanging my hat on was this thinking like, well, if we could change something here and just score more, we've actually got a chance of winning games of football.
The coaches consistently emphasised defence as his number one priority.
All year he's done that.
The difference with what we were doing in the first half was defending from the back half of our ground. Now we're defending from all parts of our ground. Mm. You know, the defence in the middle and front half of your ground becomes an attacking weapon.
No doubt.
That's the difference now. We've turned defence into attack.
Yeah. And we all listen to his post-game press conferences. You're 100% right. That's what he was saying. But he never laid out what we weren't doing right. I can't remember one prep where he felt like he had to justify what he was saying to the press blokes after games. He said, you know,
we know.
But he said, we're doing things defensively. We've got to get right. And I suspect that's what he's talking about. I don't think Michael Voss wants to be defending from the last line. Although we did... I think, and I haven't got any data to support this, so I probably shouldn't even say it, but we work, and I know this is a bugbear of yours, but the first 2 months of the year, when we got it, we were sideways and backwards. I know that for a fact. Mm. And we're not doing that as much anymore. We first touch, go.
Yeah.
First touch, forward.
You can't play slow.
We're taking territory. 100%. And we want to go forward towards to our goals. Yep. So that's another thing I've noticed. Actually, it's glaring. It's actually glaring. Even out of stoppage, we want to generally go forward.
Go back. Yeah, and that's a confidence thing, and it's a mindset, and it's being prepared to, you know, run to a dangerous spot and make a dangerous handball and be prepared to be burnt, you know, if they read it or your skill execution isn't quite right. But and that's going to be the challenge for us on Friday week. You know, that's going to be the challenge because we all know this is a big stage. Mm. And... And I think we had last year, you know, we couldn't meet the moment. When the expectation was on us to get the job done, we fell over. We fell over in those last two games that were, you know, part of our history now. And I think the expectation was on us again the other day.
Are you all right, Andy?
Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah, I'm fine, mate.
You're right.
Thank you. Yeah. The expectation was on us to just go up to Gold Coast on this, what were we, eight game winning streak at that stage? Go up to Gold Coast, get the job done, secure your spot in the finals. Well, at quarter time, we're 34 points down. They kick the first of the second quarter to make it 40. Mm. We are looking at our football mortality again, like it was. Like we're gonna get beaten, and then we're gonna have to face GWS, who are playing an unbelievably good brand of footy for a fight for final survival possibly the next week, and we were staring at it again.
Yep.
The same thing's gonna happen to us. I can see it. Mm. We're gonna round 24, and it's gonna be ripped from us again. Well, this group said, nah, not now. We've learnt the lessons from last year. We go Wooshka in the second quarter. Then it became an arm wrestle, but we still got the job done when it had to be done. And that's, we've always found it hard to win up there. And a lot of teams do find it hard to win up there. So as much as you look at Gold Coast and you go, should have walked through them, I think that was a win, particularly coming from 7.5 down, whatever it was, 7 down. That was a win full of merit for me. And then round 24, we've spoken about that.
Well, can I ask you, like now that we're together, because we didn't have the chance at the time, last round last year, Andy, we've all seen the vision of this man.
Seen
the vision of him calling the game, the Carlton-Collingwood game, last couple of minutes or so? Well, we've been mates for how long?
Since
40 years, you know. And I wouldn't say I got over it, but it was about 24, 48 hours afterwards that I happened to see this great mate of ours, you know, call that fucking last whatever. And I don't think he was actually calling at the time. I think Waitley was, so he was just watching. I was trying to get over the whole saga and consoling my daughter, who'd been like in tears afterwards, inconsolable. Gone. And then you watch that vision of one of your great mates. If there was a dagger, right, it went straight through this heart, out my back, and I just slumped in my chair when I watched it because I felt what he was feeling.
But we're all in the same.
No, that's okay, yeah. Andy. That's okay.
You're on the public stage.
That's right. That's exactly right. So we're all in the crowd. We're all experiencing what you're experiencing. Mm. But to watch you, and it's on camera. It was just so. Tell me in those.
You shouldn't allow people.
Well, just
that
tell
situation.
Me in that moment. How were you feeling?
Well, exactly the same way you were feeling. So you're there. You know. You call your bit and then you hand it back, and then you call your bit and you hand it back, and you know, you tag team between the two callers. But so Jared had the Elliott goal. Which turned out to be the moment. And we're at the ground. So we're lucky in the commentary box. You had a great position. Mm. You could see it happening. You could see it from 120 metres away. You could see if they get this footy here, Maynard hit it, and then you could see it. And we were still, I think, in a state of a bit of trauma from the week before. And then that happened. So you know, we all felt this. I was just happened to be doing my job, but we all felt exactly the same thing. It was
from that subject, do you remember I handed you to a letter at the end of the podcast? Did you open it?
What was the message?
You were meant to open the letter if we lost that game. I'm gathering from this conversation you didn't.
No, I did.
What do you remember from the letter when you opened it?
A classic Gek Man letter. Oh, I can't remember much about it, to be honest.
This was the lyrics.
Oh, that's right.
From a song.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Written by the Bee Gees.
Yes.
How can you mend a broken heart? I've got them here in front of me. I'm going to read some of the lyrics. I can think of younger days when living for my life was everything a man could want to do. I could never see tomorrow. I was never told about the sorrow. And how can you mend a broken heart? How can you stop the rain from falling down? Tell me, how can you stop the sun from shining? What makes the world go round? How can you mend this broken man? How can a loser ever win? Somebody please help me. mend my broken heart and let me live again.
Yeah, I think when I opened my letter from you, I didn't really want to read that stuff, to
I can
honest.
Still feel the breeze that rustles through the trees, a misty memory of days gone by, but we could never see tomorrow. No one ever told us about the sorrow. Mm. That was why I gave it to you, because I think we just have memories that linger and that contrast so much with the pain that we feel in the current situation, that until we obliterate the past, we can't move on.
You know? Burn it. We have to burn it. And so, now, and sorry, the follow-up to why I brought that up, Andy, was that I also heard your call, I think, did you do the Melbourne or Gold Coast game?
I did the Gold Coast game last week. Yeah. 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
And the contrast between the two calls, not that you called the Collingwood game, but the way you looked, but the way you called the Gold Coast game, and particularly when that final siren went, and you realised the club that you've supported all your life, the club that you love, has now made another final series after so many years. Mm. So go back 12 months to how you were feeling, to then I could hear in your voice something completely different.
Oh, well, it's, because all the things that Gecko said about we were broken.
It's been lifted.
Yeah, well, we were broken, I think. And we are our players, and our players are us. Mm. They're feeling the same thing that we're feeling, and we're feeling without the bumps and bruises. We're feeling what they're feeling. So, you know, we're all, you know, we all get different things out of it. But, you know, we know what it feels like to... we know what it feels like to be great, because we all grew up in an era when we were constantly great.
Yeah, I'm getting old, Andy. I'm starting to forget it.
We've lived through 25 years of a mini spike here or there, but long-term irrelevance, and we know what that feels like. We know what it feels like to have hope restored, close to being restored, but then ripped away from us at the last hurdle. And now here we are, and it's been... You know, we've experienced the gamut. You know, we haven't lost our club, so we don't know what it's like to be a Fitzroy supporter. But we sort of have lost our club, I reckon, to a degree on the way through, because Carlton wasn't what it used to be, as Gecko explained earlier. And it'll never be the same again. It'll never be the same as what it was, because you can't build teams like that anymore. But, you know, when I see Matt Owies grab the chest and rip the CFC off his chest after kicking a goal, or I see the way the boys got around Charlie yesterday when he, you know, they celebrate the success. When I see Ed and Charlie enjoy playing footy with one another the way they do, even though, you know, Ed's days are, you know, clearly numbered. I don't know, that brings a new Carlton into focus for me. And you go down to Prinny Park nowadays and you see what the club's done. It's a wonderful facility now. I've still got great faith in what the girls are going to do in the W program. I hope nothing but the best for Matty Buck and his new crew down there this year. That all starts on Saturday, and hopefully every Carlton supporter who can will get along and watch as many of the AFLW games as you possibly can. Show your support, because it means a lot. But this is the new Carlton, and hopefully that leads us to a win on Friday week at the MCG.
Yeah, well, the VFL was disappointing, wasn't it, their last round? Like, they had to lose by less than 70 points to actually be, you know, play in that repercharge. Whatever. They got beaten by 21 goals.
Yeah, very strange result.
Yeah, it's just strange. Anyway. I threw out... questions from the floor, listeners. I'll go through a couple. I think
you should see him. He's been very active on Twitter, Gex.
Yeah, I'm back on Gex. I'm back on.
He's still with it.
Very it's active. Amazing how the Blues are back. And
Elon Musk hasn't had a great year for that.
No, I don't know about any of that, but I know it's clickety clack. The pumper's back. Don't worry about that. Phil Nash. Gex asks you, has Gex gotten back on the Bolivian marching powder?
Wow.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Wowee.
Yeah.
I can't say I've ever dabbled in the white stuff, but
I think you must have mentioned on the show once, and I think you I think you took it literally.
I've said a lot of things. I can't even remember.
Yeah. So SG Gav talks about Akers is ready to play. Who misses out? We've talked about our sides. Vinny wanted the whole ruck scenario, TDK, Sauce or whatever. We've talked about that. Matty H asks, basically, how far can we go?
Yeah, well, that's a good question.
Don't project. It's all about one game at the moment. I don't look too far forward.
I know you don't, Andy.
Well, I'm just looking. You know, who knows, right? Like, who knows? We might get knocked out on Friday week. So, yeah. But
I will say this: what you said earlier about some of those close games, the Gold Coast scenario where we came back, it just appears from a distance that the sporting gods are shining a bit of light towards us this year.
Mm.
Like, okay. We've had a rub of the green a couple of times. It's sort of allowed us where we are. So let's just hope, you know.
Well, okay. Do you think we'll get over the top of the Swans?
I think we should. They're 3-0 at the G this year, the Swans.
Yeah. Andy, you think we'll get over the top?
I think we'll beat them. I do.
I agree. So if that's the case, we're going to come up against either Collingwood or Melbourne the following week. I hope it's Collingwood. Personally, I hope it's Collingwood because I would love nothing better than to send them packing, right, in straight sets. So I'd love that opportunity. Whether we could get it done or not, I don't know. But that's what I would love.
I tell you
what. So therefore, I think we can actually, with a little bit of, well, it's not luck, but I think we could make a preliminary final. But that would be interstate.
Then
I think it might come to a halt.
I'll tell you one thing that we haven't mentioned.
That's what I just think.
Tell you one thing that we haven't mentioned. Home game at the MCG.
Yep.
We've got a massive advantage with our crowd.
Oh, yeah, that's got something to do with it, imagine.
The sound of that.
No, we're loud.
The sound of the supporters.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's crazy.
It's
crazy.
Another player.
Absolutely crazy.
You.
Absolutely
got
crazy.
Got an advantage.
Tony Mosca, great fellow, the Superfly, asks, do you think that all this has happened before, good and bad, is an important part of success in the future? The Trigg, Bolton, Sauce, Teague, etc. Was it all important or did it just delay success?
Oh, if you think that everything, you know, is meant to be part of something, then you can believe that.
Yep.
I feel like no, it would be disrespectful to the efforts that those blokes put in when they were in the job to say it was a waste of time. Mm-hmm. Maybe we just weren't ready for whatever. Maybe the club wasn't ready. I think the club's changed a bit. You know, I think we've got a
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So. Paulie R talks about again H, but he talks about, you know, the trade talk on Harry. You're not trading Harry, are you?
Am I trading him?
Yeah. Trade.
No, no. Trading Harry Mackay. Yeah. No, I'm not.
I think a lot can happen in the next few weeks, but
you mean at the end of this year?
I'm not saying yes or no. I'm just saying there've been some bizarre trading incidents over the last few years.
And then something happens to Charlie. What happens then?
Well, exactly.
So right. You keep him. You keep him.
Tread very carefully when you make these decisions.
Yeah, you keep him. Kaz, another lovely fella. Out of 10, what would you rate Voss second season?
Oh, I think he's.
And why, perhaps?
I think if you want to, if you
put a number on it.
So forget about the coaching, you know, the game day, you know, just the full package that has been Michael Voss. Demeanor has hardly changed through the ups and downs. He's held very, very true to his message. He's clearly had a moment with some senior players where he said, right, I don't need to hear some things. I'd give him, high sevens, low eights for the first 2 years of his time.
I'd agree with that.
Are you talking about a here and now or an overall for the time he's been here?
For the time he's been here.
I'm high sevens, low eights.
So he's gone from nearly out the door to... being entrenched now. Like, I think he's completely in synchronicity with – he's won the players over, and I think the message is very clear about where they are and where they're going to. So it's a hard thing to sort of rate over a two-year period, but right now I'd give him an 8. In the year, he'd be 3.
Yeah.
You know, like
– Yeah, so that's why – yeah, that's why it's – yeah, the win-loss shouldn't be the – I think during the bad times when he was when we were up against it and the numbers were running the wrong direction, I think he held, you know, his own standards and his own performance that we get to see. I thought he held his chin up, and I thought he represented us and himself really well. I think he's been really good. He's a different. He doesn't have all the answers anymore, Vossie, and he doesn't pretend to. Back in the early days, he knew the name of the unknown soldier. He knew everything that couldn't be told, I think. And I think Vossie's matured a bit now, and he's had a couple of kicks along the way. He's not bulletproof anymore. So, and I think that's part of the Michael Voss that we see these days.
Sure. Daniel Barilaro says, how pivotal do you think us as fans become on game day midweek?
Massive.
Emotions run high, but it must be said that after the Essendon game incident.
Is that when they were booing the blokes off the ground?
Many fans.
Putrid.
But many fans decided to express their solidarity with the playing group.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Was that a significant turning point in the fact of solidarity from the supporter group, or do we play? That's not.
No, I don't think the solidarity stuff is. But I think the players at a time like that would appreciate seeing the opposite to what they got when they came off the ground that day.
Yeah, sure. It was horrid.
Yeah, it was putrid.
It was putrid.
But there's a lot of Carlton supporters, and I know you said this at the start, but, you know, we were feeling it when we weren't flying early. But it doesn't mean you start shit-canning every single bloke that's wearing the jumper, every cut. You know, you just don't do that.
No.
You, get through, and hopefully
we have supporters that live in the extremes. They're either terrible or they're over the top.
Yeah.
You know,
And
it's like the coaches and the players. They say if you win or if you lose, just try and stay in the middle.
Just support us.
Sure,
just support us.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Franco, another big fan of the. We've met Franco. We sat at him at the VFL Best and Fairest at the time, or the Northern. Whatever it was on their table, Franco. Says, Baz, about fucking time that we did the show. Yep, no worries, mate. That's great. But Fisher, he's the Fisher-Boyd scenario. Fisher, playmaker, runs, Boyd, lockdown. Which one do we go into this game with? And that's well, a bit
depends
of...
Depends what you... Yeah.
Not sure. Are you more Fisher or Boyd lockdown?
Well, if it's a choice, I'd go Boyd because I just think you need combative mentality for a final, and I think he would be the bloke I'd like to be in the trenches with the most.
Sure. Flat Sticker says, keen to hear the big picture view, context of the list, great ladder position, growth this year, crystal ball next 2 to 5 years.
Oh, well, keep heading in the same direction, you know. I think I'm excited about what Ollie Hollins is going to be. You know, there's a couple of young players in the VFL who are developing where haven't got too many players close to, you know, retirement. Have we? We're still pretty good in that regard. I don't think anybody...
In terms of... probably Ed Curnow's the only retirement.
But what about, like, none of our frontliners? I mean, we're pretty young.
Not at all.
Midfield.
Not at all. Newman's 30.
But he's playing the best football of
best
his
footy,
life,
best
mate.
Best footy. No, unbelievable.
He's got 4 or 5 years left to go the way he's going.
Tom Linton, don't think you guys will buy into this, but, you know, specific player, who should we be targeting in the trade? No. I wouldn't have a clue. I don't think you boys probably...
No.
Unfortunately, Tom, that's not a question for us. Anne-Marie, lovely lady, should we have any worries over the GWS loss? Do we have ruck issues? Will we perform or choke at our first final in 10 years?
I'll
let you know at about 10 o'clock on Friday night, Anne-Marie. Thanks for that. Dr. Blue, who's a mate of yours, Gex, used to go to school with him, but don't mention his name because he goes under an alias. The hard running that stifled opposition teams in transition was lacking against GWS and in parts of the Gold Coast. Do you think it was due to a mental letdown once finals were certain, or have we run out of steam due to multiple must-win games?
Well, that was a query I brought up at the start of the night, and I think game management of players and the guys coming back from hamstrings and the resting of players and the ruck issue and Mackay combined, and I think all those factors will be answered Friday night, because my only query is us running out games at the moment.
Sure.
I'm just wondering whether some of our players have come to the end of their...
Andy?
No, I'm more the former in terms of the question than the latter.
Yep. Sure. Dub D asks, can Matt Kennedy get back into this side?
It's a challenge, I reckon.
Only through injury, I would have thought.
Yep. Fair enough. We all love him. We love what he brings when he's in and ready to go, but you've got to have the right balance of everything, and you can have a bit too much of one and not enough of the other, and you're in trouble. So
yeah, sure. And look, most of the other questions all revolve around Harry, Ruck, that sort of stuff. Boyd and Fisher. No, that's about
top five BNF. What do I reckon?
Yeah.
So we used to do that.
Really good.
Lukey Ryan used to help us out, and if you're listening, Luke, thanks for everything you did. But this is just a gut feel. Who have you got? Who you got at one?
I reckon
it's... Is it in order? Have you got? Yeah. Is this in order?
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I went Newman.
Tick.
I reckon it's a two-horse race, Newman or Charlie.
I got Charlie second.
Tick.
I've got Wiedering third.
I got Chera third.
Yeah, I would say Chera third, personally.
I got Wiedering fourth.
I got Chera fourth.
Oh, no.
I think Chera would have been a mile in front.
I think,
to be honest.
Yeah.
But how many is he?
He missed four? Three or four?
It's going to hurt him, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to hurt him, the way they vote. I've got... Now, this is a contentious one. I think this one here comes from left field. I've got a feeling, because he's played every game and played reasonably consistently in the way they vote, I think generally does his job. Got a feeling Blake Akers might slot in.
I've got him in front of Weeders, possibly, because I thought Weeders' first half of the year was a bit shaky.
Yeah, up until the Swans game, Gex, there was moments where...
He was having a hell of a year.
Yeah.
Like
I think since...
Well, he had a few things going on that were upsetting.
Sure, and I'm just saying.
No,
100%. The Franklin, he got some confidence out of the game against...
he got his stuff
Actually, that game against the Swans, we were in that game. At three-quarter time, I think we had two players went off. I can't remember which players went off the ground, but we had a bench of only one or two in the last quarter, and we only just got beat. So that would give you some confidence that we can get it done down here.
Yeah, no.
If you wanted to look back, and we're playing horrible football back then.
We're a better side now than we were then.
So who'd you have at five?
I had Doherty, Cripps, Tide. I couldn't make up my mind.
Doherty. I didn't think of Doherty and Cripps. Yeah. Well, pretty much...
But there we go, that's in five. So, no, I'd love to see Nick. If Nick Newman wins it, that's a hell
phenomenal.
Of a story.
Phenomenal. Is that a phenomenal?
No,
could he be in the squad of 40?
He's not.
Oh, he's not.
He's not.
The only make the 40?
No, the three Carlton players are Wiedering, Cripps, and Kerner.
Cripps?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
Cripps made All-Australian this year.
I'm surprised.
Newman had to make
it. Yeah, it's crazy stuff.
That's
well, Cripps,
he's not
going to
make the team. No chance. No.
Sorry, who was the other one?
Kerno.
Charlie Astor, yeah.
Yeah, he'll make it. I hope Wiedering gets it, because he's been stiff.
I don't think he will.
Oh, he won't either.
No, Wiedering's in the squad, but you don't think he'll be in the team.
A lot of competition for those.
The bloke from GWS will be a lock, won't he?
Taylor missed a bit of footy. In fact, Taylor's not in the 40, I don't think.
I don't think he'll make the squad.
He won't be in the team.
No, I don't think he'll make the
team. No.
When you're missing the 40, sure. I think I've got a feeling you won't be making the side.
So that's the reality with all of that.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's...
I'm surprised.
That's disappointing. That's disappointing. They haven't...
Yeah.
Yeah, one, yeah. Gee, they haven't looked at his performances this year all that closely, I've got to say.
Someone's made a blue.
They usually get you to repeat your performance for 2 years before they pick you, don't they?
Yeah, that's
been a hell of a story. Watching him play this year,
I agree.
He's just been
incredible.
Enormous.
Totally.
Our predictions, I suppose.
We've already done it, haven't we? We've all said we hope we win. And you've said we'll get to the prelim.
We're going to predict Sydney to win.
You've already said we're getting to get to the prelim. Yeah. How many times do you want to say the same thing?
I think prelim's a chance.
Yeah.
It's a chance. You know, I'd love it. I'd love it. I think... they've put a hell of an effort into this second half of the year.
So we're in the Brisbane side of the draw, aren't we? If they win...
That's correct.
If they beat Port, they go through to the prelim. And if we're lucky enough to win, we've got Brisbane at the Gabba. Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, no, all you hope you have a go.
They've got chinks in the armour.
Yeah, not many.
No, not many up there.
There's no shining beacon standout team.
There's no unbeaten.
Oh, they've got some good players.
Yeah, of course they do. Yeah. I mean, if you finish in the top four, then you've earned the right.
Yeah, but for sure.
There's no shining beacon number one team in the comp.
No, but up there, they're a different proposition.
I've got a question for you. Like, in terms of, like, go back a while ago and there was a question posed to Brian Cook and Chera about, is finals the be all and end all? Is it a success? They answered it a little bit differently, both blokes at the time. Now that we've made finals, A, is it a successful year that we've made finals? Or do you think we need to win this final to make it successful? Or do you think we've done enough?
We need to play four quarters of good footy.
Yeah.
For me to be satisfied.
Okay.
Yeah, don't go out on Friday week. Don't go out in that game against Sydney and
without a whimper.
Yeah, don't go out and play away from the brand that we've established as being our brand.
But you give this year a tick, Andy?
Well, we finished fifth on the ladder. We come from a mile back.
It's so, one rung higher than last year.
Mm.
So if you're happy with that, then give it a tick. Yeah. Well, personally, no, because we should have been in this situation last year.
I give it a tick. You don't give it a cross.
Well, it's the same as last year for me.
We didn't play in the finals last year.
That's what I'm saying. We should have. Yeah, We had two chances and blew it last year.
But we are this year. And we probably had a slightly softer draw. But no, I'm giving it a tick. This is not the end of the road, I hope.
I hope no one's satisfied with where we are.
I don't think any. That's not the question you're asking.
No, I don't.
You're asking whether we give the season a tick.
Yeah.
Well, I give it a tick, of course.
I tell you what. I would have given it about three crosses in round 13.
Yeah, we're bloody gone, mate. So
incredible.
It's a step in the right direction, and we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, bloody oath. It's good to be back, and
I'll see you in a year.
I was going to pose one more question. If we happen to get over the top of Swans, can we do another one?
Right, let's do that.
If we get over the top, but only
people want us to. Well, if people are going, "Oh, these three blokes have shot their load and they're no good anymore. The magic's gone." From a podcast perspective,
Andy, we're almost 60.
Well, that's why I didn't think that needed to be explained, Baz. But if anybody's got anything out of this, then that's lovely. And if we do happen to prevail against the Swannies, then we'll see.
I'd like to thank the listeners, the followers. We posed a question about a week ago, Gex, on Twitter, and just said,
When you say we, you.
I did. But the questions were coming. I just thought, I'll oppose it. If there's interest, we'll have a crack at it. I don't think any of us have been opposed to it. It just, you're a busy man. I'm never always available. We were tinkering with the idea of doing it this year, but look, there's so many Carlton podcasts out there.
That's all we don't need to
But good, good on them. A lot of them speak to me. I've been on two or three of them. They keep in constant contact with me. They appreciate, Andy, what we've done and started. Uh-huh. They followed on and they do what they do. Some of them a little bit different, but that's okay. A lot of them have said on the back of what we started, they wanted to emulate or do their own stuff as well. And I think it's fantastic. It's great.
There's 1,000 Carlton podcasts now, so they don't need us doing it.
I'm not saying that for 1 minute, but I'm just, the appreciation out there from those guys and ladies that do, have their own podcasts, all tell me that it stemmed from us starting it and the fact that we finished and they thought, we'll enter the scene. It's been good. And it's great to talk about a good year, because we talked about years that we never made finals, boys.
We never
made finals, and we never got that joy to speak about our club. We started off a little bit negative on the show tonight, but you had to talk about the first part of the year. The second part of the year has been fantastic. There wouldn't be a person that would be sitting there listening and thinking, no, no, well, you know, well, apart from Gex,
he gave it a bit of a clip. But he's always miserable. So
that's all right. But no, thanks, guys, for coming back for the show.
You're not going to cry, are you?
Don't cry. I've been very emotional of late. I went through a tough time personally. And with the club going so poorly, it probably came at the worst possible time in my life. And that was tough to deal with because you're always looking for some positivity in your life. And when there was a lot of negativity in my life, plus the love of my life, my footy club was performing the way they did, it just squashed me even more. But thankfully, that problem's been solved and the footy club's been solved. So it's onwards and upwards.
Simpatico. There you go.
Is that a movie?
Yeah, everything's turned around at the same time for you.
You guys come out with words I've never heard in my life.
It was good to see you smiling.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
You too, my friend.
Good to see you still got some hair on your head.
Mm. Yeah. Where did that come from?
No, it's weird. That's it. We're done. Thanks for listening to us. Hopefully you got something out of it. Let's all get along this weekend to see the girls go about it and the week after en masse.
Can I just say, if we look like losing the game, can I just put one thing out there?
Yeah, don't go. Stay.
Stay to the end.
Is what I
mean. I think it's incumbent that we stay to the end of the game,
exactly.
Folks. Please.
Somewhat, but that's
okay. I think it's time to stay and applaud this club for what they've achieved this year. Without going over the top, it was really disappointing to see the exit of the people on the weekend.
I think that just showed what that game meant to a lot of people, though. It was a different week.
Yeah, fair enough. But just one little negative was that those grandstands emptied very, very quickly. Me and Fee went to the dugout when the boys ran off and we gave them a clap. That was an appreciation of what they've achieved in the last 10 weeks when all was looking terrible. So just stay, just stick,
Nice.
Just something small.
Good man. You're a good man. Go. Should be president of the football club, one of those.
I've got enough money, Andy. Apparently you've got to have money to be the president.
Dirt pockets. Yeah. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening. This has been the Carlton Show, first one in quite some time. Go Blues, enjoy your footy, and we'll see you down the road.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.